This morning's message is entitled, In the Father's Hands, You're Safe. In the Father's Hands, You're Safe. And it comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. So a number of verses here that I'm going to read. Starting with verse 24. Jesus, this is all the words of Jesus, this entire passage. He says to his disciples, Disciples aren't greater than their teacher, and slaves aren't greater than their master. It's enough for disciples to be like their teacher and slaves like their master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, it's certain they will call the members of his household by even worse names. Verse 26. Therefore, don't be afraid of those people, because nothing is hidden that won't be revealed, and nothing secret that won't be brought out into the open. What I say to you in the darkness, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, announce from the rooftops. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but can't kill the soul. Instead, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a small coin? But not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it already. Verse 30, even the hairs of your head are all counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before people, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 33. But everyone who denies me before people, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Don't think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. Verse 35. I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. People's enemies are members of their own households. And then verse 37, those who love father or mother more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who love son or daughter more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who don't pick up their crosses and follow me aren't worthy of me. Verse 39, the last verse. Those who find their lives will lose them. And those who lose their lives because of me will find them. And may God bless the reading of his word this morning. Well, this morning, on this final Sunday, in this format, I decided to do something a little bit different for our last official online services with Mary, June, and Terry. I brought in from my house a small safe. It's usually right in the bedroom, in the closet, and in this safe. Well, why did I bring a safe to church this morning? What I want to ask you, what is the importance of a safe? Well, a safe is to keep something that is precious to you or important to you secure and undamaged, to keep it safe. Well, that's not a good definition. To use the same word in the definition. Something that is important to you or I, keep it secure and undamaged, or to keep it away from someone you don't want to have, whoever that might be. Well, in my safe, I have a number of items. Well, car titles, a watch from my late wife, a Seiko LaSalle, some jewelry from her as well, birth certificates from family members of myself, as well as some of her jewelry that might go to my daughter or grandkids. Not sure. Don't ask me yet. But in this safe, these are all the things that are important that I want to hold on to, keep secure. And also in this safe, it's a fireproof safe. So how do you keep it safe, the things that are in there? Well, by the lock that's on the outside and also the fireproof box that it's in. I'm asking you and talking to you about saves this morning because in today's scripture passage, Jesus does a lot about secrets and keeping things safe. And not only is Jesus talking about safes and secrets, he is also talking about not keeping things secret or safe, tucked in, locked away. The first point that I want to make about this passage is this, that Jesus says, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not safe. You will not be safe in this world. The first thing that Jesus tells us is that if you are a believer and you intend to follow his teaching, you are not guaranteed safety in this world. Not at all. What you are guaranteed for all of us is that he will have his hand upon you. He will be there for you and with you through all of the things in this world. And for this passage, he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, and since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, or Beelzebub, this is the New Living Translation, not the common English Bible that I read earlier, the members of my household will be called even worse names. Well, in other passages, we know he talks about persecution and suffering for him and for being a believer in him. The point is, if you follow Jesus Christ and swear your ultimate allegiance to him as your Lord and King, you're not safe. He's not going to lock you away from the dangers or perils of this world. If they treated Jesus bad, they'll treat you bad and me bad. If you believe that you will be treated better than Jesus, that's foolish. It's foolish. Jesus is warning every disciple here about the oncoming persecutions that they will endure. The first Christians faced triple persecutions on three fronts, three sides. Persecution from the Romans because they claimed Jesus as Lord and not Caesar. Persecution from the Jews because Jesus claimed to be God, the Son of God, which is blasphemy. And also persecution from the Christian's own family, from the believer's own family. Just as Jesus was hated for bearing witness to the truth, so also Christians will be hated for being loyal to the one who is true, the way, the truth, and the life. From the time of Jesus' death to 315 AD, when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, Christians were ridiculed, hunted, killed, burned alive, tortured. And it hasn't changed. In many countries, many places around the world, it's still the same. Throughout history, Christians have experienced the very same persecution and ridicule, especially in a culture that is hostile to Christianity. So the first thing, before you say yes to faith in Christ, is know that your witness will make you a target. You're not safe in this world. Number two, he says, even though you're not safe, don't keep my words safe, locked up. You may think, well, if I don't reveal who I am to people, then I won't put myself in harm's way. I'm not going to be a target if I keep my mouth shut. I'll be safe, locked away. To counter that opinion, that idea, Jesus tells them, don't do that. Proclaim who Jesus is. In fact, he doesn't say just proclaim. He says, shout it from the rooftops, everything about Jesus and about the words he spoke to them and to us. For that passage, we look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. What I say to you in the darkness, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, announce from the rooftops. Actually, it's shout it from the rooftops. Proclaim it from the rooftops in other translations. In other words, don't keep the words and ideas of who Jesus is locked up in a safe. Don't make Jesus the Messiah a secret. This is not a secret to keep. You see, words can also be locked up. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, "Don't tell anybody this. This is just between you and I." And what do you usually do? Like, or turn the key, throw it away. What Jesus is saying here is don't zipper your mouth and don't lock your mouth up. Sure, you need to have tight lips with confidential words from a family member or a friend that they talk to you in confidence about, but not with Jesus. Jesus says, shout it from the rooftops. Don't keep a tight lip about Jesus. Why? Because ultimately, whether it's you or someone else, the truth will come out. That's what he's saying here. The truth is going to come out. Rumors about Jesus at this time in Matthew chapter 10 were already circulating around the countryside. But there would come a time when the truth about Jesus would have to be absolutely proclaimed all throughout the earth. That's why we looked then a couple weeks ago at Matthew chapter 28, so that all the world would know about the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus died, he told all of his disciples at that time to teach everything I've commanded you to all people. And that time is now also. Right now is the time to proclaim Christ from the rooftops and the hilltops. At first, Jesus is saying how secrets won't stay secret, that covered up things will become uncovered, that locked up things will become unlocked. But then Jesus switches it a little bit in this passage from talking about secrets to tell his disciples that they better not keep him a secret. Right now, it was a secret. He was talking to them confidentially, privately. But then, don't keep him a secret anymore. The words he shared with them should then be shared by them to everyone. And the third point this morning is if you keep Jesus a secret, he says, you'll be a secret to the Father. This is the hard part. This is a punch to the gut. He says, you must acknowledge me in your life. Don't keep what you know about me a secret or locked into a little safe. It's because then I'm not going to bring you out of the safe when you appear before my Father. He says it in these words. He says in verse 32, therefore everyone who acknowledges me before people, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But everyone who denies me before people, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If you printed out the sermon sheet from the church's website, there's one word in this that you need to circle. It's this word right here, therefore. In fact, put a lot of circles around it. Two or three more. That word is the key to this whole text. Why? Because we know that God keeps track of us even better than the sparrows. In fact, in this passage, he says he knows the number of hairs on our head, even though they're declining. And if he keeps track of those small things, sparrows, the hairs of our head, he's going to keep track of the words that we proclaim too. He's going to keep track of the number of words that we proclaim and talk about to others about him. The truth is simple. Because Jesus teaches us that God knows us better than the sparrows, we, the disciples of Christ, are to publicly acknowledge and profess our allegiance to Jesus Christ, the family, friends, neighbors, associates, colleagues. As a Christian, it doesn't take a lot to do this. You know what? If somebody's going through a difficult time, you know what you do? You just say, I know you're going through something. Can I pray for you? Or I've been praying for you. That's very non-threatening. Very non-threatening. You just say, you know what? I'm going to bring you up before our church, and or my Bible study, or small group, or just to a few friends. The best way to do this is just to say, can I pray for you now? And in your prayer, pray for them, mention them by name, the thing that they're going through, if you know it, if they disclose it. If they didn't, that's fine too. God knows it. And then end that prayer in His name. In His name. In the name of Jesus. As a Christian, we should speak well of Jesus by word and deed on this earth. So that Jesus will speak well of us before the Father. Here's the downside as well. In this passage, there's condemnation for those who cover up that they're Christians, who cover up that they belong to Christ, who follow Him in secret and have His words locked up in a safe. There's no such thing, therefore, he's telling us, as a secret Christian. There's no such thing as a safe Christian who secretly and invisibly follows Jesus. We must be public Christians or not Christians at all. People around us have to know that we're followers of Him. Are we willing to go to the cross, our cross, and endure the ridicule and suffering in order to share in the abundance that Christ gives to us and wants us to have? And that's what he finally gets to. Take up your cross and follow me. It's absolutely necessary to courageously confess his name. Well, in the book of Acts, there's one story in chapter 4. Peter and John go into the temple in chapter 3. But then in chapter 4, they're arrested, they're brought before the ruling council of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, and they're told, don't do this anymore. Stop talking about Jesus Christ. They don't beat them on this occasion because they look at the man who was lame, couldn't walk, and everybody is praising God, the scripture says in that passage in chapter 4. So they couldn't beat them. Why beat them? Because this man is healed and walking and leaping and jumping and praising God, it says in chapter 4. But they do say this in verse 18. It says, so they called the apostles back in after conferring together and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But then look at these guys. Spirit-filled believers like you and I who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior. So they look at these ruling heads of the state of Israel and they say these words. Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than Him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. About who? Jesus. We can't stop. These little ever-ready bunny disciples are on a mission. They're going to be banging the drum no matter what they go through, no matter who they face, no matter who it is in their life before them. They are not going to have a little safe where they're going to lock their hearts away and His words away. They're going to bring everything out of that safe that they have kept hidden in their heart, like Mary, and share it. This courageous confession is what has energized the first century church and disciples and apostles, and it still energizes the church today. Our final hymn, in fact, says it sums it up, the church's commitment throughout all of the generations. It says in our final hymn, living for Jesus through earth's little while, meaning our short time on earth. My dearest treasure, the light of His smile, looking to that time where I will stand before Him and see Him smiling back at me. It goes on and it says, seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, to buy back, to purchase back, redeem bringing the weary to find rest in him. So not just those who were not following him and were sold to someone else, redeemed, but also those who needed rest. Life was hard, and only he could give them rest. Right now, as you're watching this service, you can make that same decision to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to take your faith out of that safe, and to every day unlock it and take it and share that faith that you've been given by him with everyone in your life. I pray that you will make that decision right now, today. Would you pray with me? And as God leads you, as he directs you, I pray that you will take your faith out and share it with others. And pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge to you that I have sinned against you in many ways. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I want you to come into my life and be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Come into my life and be my Lord, and help me become the person that's had the courageous believer